Preaching and teaching earth-wide. Worldwide. Lands. 239. Publishers. 7,782,346. Total hours spent in the field ministry. 1,748,697,447. Bible studies. 8,759,988. Africa. Lands. 58. Population. 968,989,710. Publishers. 1,312,429. Bible studies. 2,999,639. No abortion for her. In Addis Ababa, the capital city of Ethiopia, there lived a shop owner named Saba. One day, two sisters approached her with an Awake magazine that featured a discussion on abortion. Saba took the sisters inside and tearfully told them that she was thinking about having an abortion. As they discussed the matter, all three became so overcome with emotion that they began to weep. That day, Saba decided to keep her baby and firmly told her husband why. In time, she gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. She also started studying the Bible and got baptized. She is now a happy pioneer. Her husband also studied and became our brother, and in April 2012, their two other children were baptized. Would it be possible to speak with him? A circuit overseer in Ethiopia was preaching from house to house with another brother. At one door, they met the housemaid and asked her if they could speak to the man of the house. When she replied that this was not possible, they asked her if they could leave some literature for him. She went to ask his permission, returned, and said that he wanted to see it first. So the brothers gave her a magazine to show him. After a few minutes, she came back and said that he agreed to read it. Then one of the brothers said, "If he can't come out, would it be possible for us to go in and speak with him?" Again, the maid went to ask him. This time she stayed away longer than before, and the brothers wondered whether she would come back at all. Eventually, she returned and invited them inside. Now the brothers learned that the householder, Yergu, was an elderly man who had been bedridden for 10 years, unable to get out of bed or even to sit up. The reason the housemaid had taken so long was that she had helped him to get dressed and had tidied up the room. The brothers presented the good news. Pleased with what he heard, Yergu accepted a Bible study. As the study progressed, his health improved. After a while, he was able to get out of bed and move around in a wheelchair. Soon he began attending meetings and was baptized at a recent district convention. The Church of His Father's Books. Calvin, who lives in Zimbabwe, was 4 years old when his father died, leaving him only a bag containing a New World Translation and the book Isaiah's Prophecy, Light for All Mankind, Volume 1. "Stick to the church of these books," he had told Calvin. "It teaches the truth." When his mother died, Calvin was taken in by his grandmother. For 9 years, Calvin refused to go to his grandmother's church, insisting that one day he would find the church of the publications that his father had given him. One day, the boy's grandmother met one of our sisters. Not knowing that she was a witness, the grandmother mentioned to the sister that she had a stubborn grandson who would not go to her church. Instead, he spent Sundays reading a book that had been left to him by his father. The sister asked the name of the book. The grandmother said that she thought it was one of those crazy books of the Watchtower. The sister said that she would like to meet the boy. When they met, Calvin was overjoyed. Right away, the sister started a Bible study with him, using the book, What Does the Bible Really Teach? And he immediately began to attend meetings, despite fierce opposition from his grandmother. He is resolved to stick to the truth and looks forward with great anticipation to the time of the resurrection when he hopes to be reunited with his mother and father. Calvin was baptized in August 2012. The God you are serving is strong. Caro lives in Uganda. Just a month after she began to study the Bible, her husband, Martin, who practiced witchcraft, began to oppose her bitterly. "Because of your books, the ancestors can no longer enter the house," he claimed. He mistreated her and threatened to kill her if she did not quit her Bible study. He also stopped providing for the family. Caro remained composed, provided for the family from the garden that she cultivated, and continued to take in accurate knowledge. Later, when it became clear that her life was actually in danger, Caro fled the home. She struggled to support herself. Yet, when she heard that the children were sick, she took the little money she had earned and bought medicine for them. After some time, Caro received a phone call from her husband. "I want you to come back home," he said. "I have seen that the God you are serving is strong and that he has been with you. I want you to tell those people who are teaching you to come and teach me too. I really want to change my life." Martin was serious. The family is now united and happy. Both Martin and Caro were baptized at a convention in August 2012. A lone preacher in a remote town. While living in a town far away from his home in Kenya, David began to study the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. Before long, though, he had to return to his home village of Lokachar in a remote area of northwestern Kenya. The nearest congregation was about 100 miles away in the town of Lodwar. For 4 years, David had little contact with the Witnesses, yet he preached to his neighbors and relatives, sharing with them the things he had learned during the brief time he had studied the Bible. Some responded positively, and soon he was conducting several Bible studies. In 2007, he contacted the brothers in Lodwar and resumed his study, making the trip twice a month by motorbike, taxi, and minibus. As his knowledge grew, so did David's zeal for the ministry. Still unbaptized, he built a temporary mud-walled kingdom hall with a thatched roof near his home, where he conducted meetings with the interested ones. However, not all in the village were happy with his preaching activity, and for 2 years he was subjected to verbal and physical abuse. Once, some villagers beat him senseless, accusing him of introducing devil worship to the village. However, after David sought the assistance of the district administration officer, the violence stopped, and David continued preaching. "The truth is my life," said David. "No amount of opposition can stop me." In 2009, David was baptized, and he now serves as a ministerial servant and a regular pioneer. He and his 15-year-old son are the only publishers in the area, but in April 2012, some 60 villagers attended the memorial of Christ's death, held in the temporary hall near David's home. Prove from the scriptures that she is wrong. Janet, a regular pioneer sister in Ghana, was reading the Bible teach book during a long bus trip. A preacher got on the bus, preached a sermon, and then invited the passengers to contribute money for his ministry. Janet said to him, "You say that Jesus is the same as God. Who then spoke to Jesus at his baptism?" The preacher said, "It is a mystery." Janet opened to chapter 4 of the Bible teach book, selected some scriptures, and invited a few of the passengers to read the verses. She explained the difference between Jesus and the Almighty God Jehovah. "You are a witch," said the preacher. At that, the passengers rallied to her defense, saying, "You should prove from the scriptures that she is wrong rather than calling her a witch." In anger, the preacher got off the bus at the next stop. A young woman sitting beside Janet said to her, "I thought Jehovah was the name of the church building of the Witnesses. I did not know that it was God's name until your discussion with that preacher." A conversation followed, and Janet took the woman's phone number and promised to contact her. When the woman got home, she related the incident to her grandmother. The grandmother, too, was surprised to learn that God's name is Jehovah. Janet later arranged for some witnesses to continue discussions with the woman and her grandmother. Both are now attending meetings.